I love to plug in and go beep boop. I love things with buttons and dials and lights that light up. I love technology of all kinds. And my guess is you guys do too, okay? So I have a couple of different categories of technology I want us to think about, okay? And just by show of hands, I want to know if this is something that you have or use, okay? There's a lot of you guys, gaming. It could be on like a console, it could be on mobile, all right? How many of you guys have a computer? It could be a Chromebook from school or a personal computer, great. How many of you guys have smartwatches? Smartwatches, there's some smartwatches out there. Tablets, iPads, Android tablets, Fire tablets, great, okay. How about TVs? Any of you guys have TVs? Most of us, all right. Earbuds, like AirPods or Pixel Buds, great, all right. Okay, now we're gonna move into the realm of like applications. How many of you guys use social media of some kind, like TikTok, or Instagram, or Snapchat, things like that, all right? How many of you guys use Discord? All right? Some of you are like, I have no idea what any of these are. How many of you guys use Spotify regularly? Spotify or Apple Music? Okay, all right. YouTube, okay. How many of you guys are using AI in some way? So ChatGPT, Gemini, all right? Okay, so it is safe to say that you all are a fairly technologically savvy group. And as I was thinking of this list, I was looking at it and saying, dude, I think I use every single one of these like today. You know, so all these different things we listed are just some of the normal everyday things that we're experiencing when it comes to the realm of technology. And I am just as much in this as you are. And as much as this is something that's really commonplace and something that we all are using all the time, it's really important for us to think about, as Christians, are we using technology in a way that pleases God? When God looks at the way that you use your phone, or play games, or use your computer, or use your smartwatch, or use your tablet, or TV, or your AirPods, or you look at TikTok, or Instagram, or Spotify, or YouTube, or use AI, is he look at the way you use any of those things, and does he say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's exactly how I want you to use it. Or would his verdict over your use of technology be something different entirely? What I want to talk about today is I want us to ask the question, does it help me run? And I'll explain what that means in a little bit, but I want us to think about how do we use technology wisely? Okay, how do we use technology wisely? So let me pray for us, and we'll jump into our message for this evening. Let's pray together. God, I'm so thankful for these friends here, for the ways that you have been gracious to them to allow them to be here on a Friday night. We're so excited that after a long week of school and different activities and friendships that we can cap off our week by gathering together as your church to sit under your word and just to see what you have for us in it. So as we think about this category of technology, I ask that you would help us to be wise and humble, that you'd help us to be diligent and faithful, and that you'd help us to really seek your face and seek your word to understand what you would have for us in this area of life. So God, we ask that you'd be with us and bless us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So this question of does it help me run, I get this from this one passage that's in your notes. Okay. So the first passage there, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let me just read this to you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So what the author of Hebrews is talking about here is he's encouraging his readers to run a race, to run the race of faith. Right, that we are in this race to glorify God. We're racing towards heaven. We want to make sure we're competing as hard as we can for God's glory. And he tells us to do two things. He tells us to lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely. So this is very hard to believe, okay? I used to be an athlete. Emphasis on used to be, okay? So when I was in high school, I ran track. I ran track and cross country, and I, in all humility, I was pretty fast for an Asian dude. As soon as I started racing as non-Asian people, I got completely destroyed. But for an Asian dude, I was semi-fast, okay? And when you're running, right, you want to obviously run as fast as possible. You have an end goal, you have a finish line you're trying to get to, and you want to make sure that you are running as efficiently and fast and hard as possible. And when you're running a race, there are a few things that you can't do, right? You obviously can't, like, cheat. You can't do things that are against the rules, right? You can't, like, strap a rocket to your back, put yourself on like, roller skates and just go super fast. That's not running the race according to the rules. But you also, even if you are competing according to the rules, you don't want to do things that are going to prevent you from running as fast as you can. So, yeah, I'm not going to strap on rocket boots to myself to try to win the race. That's illegal, right? But I'm also not going to, like, I don't know, run backwards, you know? I'm not going to, like, take a bunch of rocks and put them in my pocket. I'm not going to wrap myself in, like, bandages and try to mummy myself across the finish line. Right, I want to run as fast and hard as possible to win the race. And the author of Hebrews is saying when you're running the race of the Christian life, you want to get rid of the things that are illegal. You want to get rid of sin. You want to get rid of the things that are clearly dishonoring to God, to cast those aside. Because clearly, if you're going to run the race of the Christian life, you need to get rid of the things that dishonor God. Obviously. But you also, the author says, need to lay aside every weight. Every weight. Not just the things that are sinful. Obviously, we got to get rid of the things that are sinful. But are there things in the Christian life that are weighing you down, the rocks in your pockets that are keeping you from running the Christian faith as hard and as fast and as faithfully as you can? Sometimes when it comes to our evaluation of how we use technology, the question we're really asking is, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with playing Minecraft? What's wrong with playing Roblox? What's wrong with watching YouTube? What's wrong with TikTok? What's wrong with doing whatever? Instead, the question we should be asking ourselves from this passage is, does it help me run? Not just is it sinful, but for the Christian, the question we have to ask is this going to help me run the race with endurance? So as you think tonight about how you use technology, your phone, how you game, your computer, social media, whatever apps you're using on your phone, AI, instead of just asking yourself, what's wrong with it? Ask yourself, does this help me run? Now, here's something that's going to come up that in the course of you thinking about this stuff, is it looks different for everybody. Because what hinders you from running, what is heavy for you, is going to be different for me. So a number of years ago, when VR was first becoming developed, I was watching this so closely. Because all I just want to disappear into a digital world. You know, I just would love that so much. And I tried it once. Okay, my friend had a headset, and I thought, this is the most amazing experience I've ever had. I tried it once, had the time of my life, and immediately came to the conclusion, I should never own a VR headset. It is not for me. And it's not because it's sinful. You know, it's not because it wasn't fun. It was because where my heart is at, I am so prone to being addicted to that kind of stuff. I already want to escape into my phone. I already want to escape into my computer. I don't need a way to, like, disappear from the rest of my family. For me, and the way that I'm running my race, it would be a huge, heavy rock in my pocket. It would not help me run. Now, if I saw you get a VR headset, I'd be so happy for you, and I would ask you if I could borrow it. But I should not own it, because that's my particular struggle. And so as you guys are going to be talking in your small groups about ways that you use technology, you can't compare yourself to other people and say, well, if they can use that, I should be able to use it. No, you have to ask yourself, is it going to help me run? Is it going to hinder my race? Is it going to keep me from being as faithful as possible? So let's look at two questions that we need to ask when you use any kind of technology, okay? And so the first question is, does it help me love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Okay? So if you want to know what the objective of the race is, we have to know, what is it that God wants? What does God want from me? And can I use technology in a way that's going to actually help me run that race and achieve that objective? In Matthew 22, Jesus is having this conversation with a Pharisee, and the Pharisee asked him this question to try to trick him. And the Pharisee asked Jesus this question, what's the greatest commandment? You silly, smart rabbi, you think you got all the answers. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus, you guys probably have heard this story, he knows how to answer this question. And what he says is from Matthew 22, verse 37. And Jesus' response to him is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. So from straight from Jesus' lips, the most important thing that your life is about, the most significant finish line that you can cross in the Christian life is, do you love God with all that you are? That's what you were made for. That's the highest, greatest thing that you could ever do in your life. And so the question you have to ask yourself when it comes to how I use technology is, does the way I use technology help me to love God more? Would you say that about the last time you picked up your phone? Or the last time you fired up your PS5? Or the last time you went onto Instagram or TikTok? That you left that experience thinking to yourself, man, I am just so much more in love with God. I just love God so much more. I think for most of us, it doesn't always feel that way. And yet it can. I think technology is a wonderful gift from God, and it can help you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think, you know, I just think about the different things that are possible with this little black square that I hold in my pocket all the time. I have access to more resources to study the Bible than any person in all of human history because I have this thing in my pocket. I can study God's word so much more easily and effectively, and I have it always with me anywhere. That's incredible. I have access to so many different kinds of worship music that can fuel my soul and feed my worship. I have access to ways to be able to minister to other people. I have access to ways to be able to learn about the world that God has given to me. And so, yeah, technology, all these different ways, things we have, they can fuel and feed our worship of God. But I think all of us know that it is way easier to give into the danger and the temptation that our technology actually is hindering us from loving God with our whole heart. I think that what is happening is that the way we use our technology is it makes it harder and harder for us to do the things that are necessary for us to enjoy our relationship with God. The way that you use technology will directly impact how you enjoy your relationship with God. And I think that sometimes the way we use it can actually hinder our ability to enjoy Him. Think about it this way. What does it mean to have a relationship with God? What does it really look like on the day-to-day? You know, not just go to church, not just know some Bible stories, but okay, you place your faith in Jesus, you know He died for your sins, you give your life over to Him. What does a relationship with God look like after that? It comes down to this, in terms of how you have a relationship with God. It's scripture, it's prayer, and it's meditation. It's those three things. Scripture, prayer, and meditation. That's how you enjoy your relationship with God. Scripture is how God talks to you in his final, complete, holy word. That's where God talks to you. Prayer is where you talk to God. And you tell Him what's on your mind. You confess your sin to Him. You enjoy your time with God. You're telling Him what you're thinking about. You're asking Him for help. And meditation is you just thinking about Him and His stuff all the time. And you just thinking, man, that's awesome. He's so great. He's so awesome. And you may not necessarily be talking to Him directly, but you're just thinking about the things that are important to Him. That's what a relationship is you talking to somebody, them talking to you, and you thinking about that person a lot. That's every relationship. And exactly, that's exactly what your relationships are supposed to be like with God. It comes down to sitting and reading and thinking and listening and focusing and discussing. In other words, if you want to enjoy your relationship with God, you need to lock in. You really need to lock in. You can't be this like scattered person that's like all over the place. And I would argue that most of the time, the way we use technology is not helping us to do that. Think about TikTok or anything that puts out like short form content, like reels and shorts on YouTube, right? It's just like, if any of you have ever seen these videos before, what are they kind of training you to do? You're just like, flip. And you're not even going to watch all 10 seconds. Like, nah, I'm not good with that one. I'm good with that one. I'm good with that one. And you're just going and going. And before long, the sun has risen and fallen. You know, seasons have passed. Like, you're starting to grow facial hair. You know, and so, like, all this thing time has happened because you've just trained yourself that you can't even focus on a 10-second video. Now think about, but what does meditation require? Meditation requires you to sit still in one place and think about one thing for a long time. And yet things like TikTok and Instagram, they really are shortening your ability to be able to do that. I love YouTube. That's probably my social media platform of choice. I just love it so much. And it's so easy. It's so easy to just be diving deep into like a YouTube rabbit hole. But you know what's really, really difficult? To sit still and read. That's really, really hard. I'm so glad that a couple of you guys got books. Lean into that. But and it's because not just reading like, oh, I'm going to read like their posts. I'm going to read their carousel, whatever. But to actually sit down and read a book for half an hour, 2 hours, is really hard for a lot of you. And not just to read a book, but to read a book that is as complicated and dense as the Bible, that can be really, really hard. And yet, the way that we're using social media and the way we're using technology is training us to not be able to sit and read God's word for a long time. So I do think that for some of you guys, there are ways that you're using technology that's downright sinful, just straight up. Like what the way you're using your phones, what you're looking at online, the way you're using social media, it is downright sinful, right? You're looking at inappropriate material. You're using it to harm or hurt other people. It's keeping you from doing what you know you're supposed to be doing because you're just wasting time and poorly stewarding your life. And that's sin. Let's just call it what it is. It's sin. And Hebrews 12 says you need to cut it out, cast it away from you. But you also need to evaluate, okay, are there things that I'm doing that are not just sinful, but just not helping me run? Am I failing to enjoy my relationship with God because of the way I'm using technology? Now, I think that there is one technology that is all abuzz these days. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's thinking about it. And that's AI, okay? And I think for right now, especially for all the adults here, I guarantee every single business that they're involved in is trying to think through AI at some level. And now, when we talk about AI, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, okay? So you just see AI everywhere, like on every billboard, every advertisement, everything's got AI associated with it. So right now, this week, there is this conference happening in Vegas called CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, I think is what it's called. And this is kind of when all these different manufacturers just start putting out these weird products and say, hey, this is the stuff we think we're going to make. And AI is in everything. Here's some stuff that they put AI into this year. So the thing on the left, I think it's called the Glide with a Y, G-L-Y-D-E. And it is an AI haircutting solution, okay? So you wear these like this weird visor thing, and then you got this, like, you know, these clippers. And somehow, through the wizardry of AI, it will know where your head is relative to where the blade is, and it will cut, it will adjust the blade as you're cutting your hair. I don't know if I would trust AI with that, you know? I mean, hair grows back, but I'm pretty sure I'd lose an ear, okay? So this is what people are thinking about when thinking of AI. Let's make some AI haircutters. The thing on the right, I think, is an AI microwave. And so, I don't know, you can just whisper your deepest desires, like, make me a tamale, you know? And it'll make you a tamale or something like that. So for some people, when they think about AI, this is the stuff they think about. Just, we're going to throw AI into stuff, whatever that means, you know? And for some people, this is what they mean when they mean AI, right? And so I know, so this guy, can someone who is more timely than me explain who this person is on the left-hand side? Yeah. Tung-Tung what? Tung-Tung Sahur? Tung-Tung Sahur? Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. As has been explained to me, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, right? This is AI brain rot, yeah? Okay, and this is Italian brain rot. And so this stuff was coming out, like a year ago, right? And it's this stuff that's like, and as far as I can tell, this means nothing. It's just dumb. It's just dumb AI slop that just got generated and people turned it into memes. And so when people think about AI, they think, oh, it's just a way to make memes. It's just a way to make crazy art and make weird things and make, you know, crocodilla bombadillo and all these weird things. That's what we use AI for, just to make silly stuff, okay? And then the boring old people like me, we're using AI to make things like the thing on the right. And so this is a tool that Sean Pham, who interned for us over the summer, built for our church to track the usage of the music that we sing on a Sunday. So that you can see, like, oh, this music leader led this song these many times. And, you know, so we can kind of build like a heat map of these different songs that we're singing. I was blown away that he was using AI for this stuff. And so people are using AI for work. And they're using it for coding. And they're using it for all kinds of different things. Lots of different things that people think of when it comes to AI. And so maybe some of you, a lot of you raised your hands and said that you're using AI for different things. How many of you guys are using AI for, I don't know, making goofy art? You know, just making stuff. Yep, Kevin does that, right? How many of you guys are using AI for making songs? Like Suno? Anyone using Suno? It's amazing. How many of you guys are using AI for schoolwork? Okay, all right. Is anyone here using AI for just like helping you think about stuff? Just helping you process ideas? Like, oh, I'm thinking about this, what's going on? All right, great. Okay. As we're thinking about AI, here are some dangers I think we need to be wise about. I think AI is a great tool. I used AI a lot today for some different things. But I also think that AI has the potential to hinder your ability to run as a Christian. And I think that it has the ability to make it harder for you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So as I'm thinking about AI, I'm thinking mostly right now of things like ChatGPT or Gemini. People call them like large language models or generative AI. And it's basically the idea is this, like is you just say stuff to it, right? Or you just type stuff into it and you tell it what to do and it just does stuff for you, right? That's kind of basically how people experience AI these days. Now this may seem really, really obvious, but people use AI for all kinds of evil things, right? People use AI for cheating in school. Like, let me just full stop say this, that if there are rules in place about when and how you should use AI in school that your teachers have put in place, and you violate those rules, you're cheating. It doesn't matter what you got away with. God sees you, and he's dishonored by that. And you need to repent and stop doing that. People are using AI to create all kinds of evil content that I can't even name here. People are using things from that content to hurt other people. And if that's you, if you're a Christian, you need to stop. It doesn't matter if it feels like it's not hurting anyone. It doesn't matter if everyone else is doing it. It doesn't matter if it means you have to spend extra time on your homework. It doesn't matter if you're falling behind. If you're using AI in a way that is sinful, you need to stop. You need to repent. You need to seek forgiveness. You need to cast off the sin in the way that you're using it. But I also think that there are ways that AI can just weigh us down that are not necessarily sinful, but they're gonna keep you from running the race. Here's what I mean by that. All technology, every technology from like the wheel all the way up to AI, every technology is making a promise to you. That promise is that you can have it good, fast, and easy. Good, fast, and easy. That is the promise of every single technology. Right, because who wants something that's going to make life worse, slower, and harder, right? So the guy that invented the car, right, he didn't say, you know what would be awesome if, you know, I came up with a mode of transportation that took way longer than a horse, you know, and maybe it lost you a limb after the fifth time. It was really expensive, you know, it was going to take you forever, really hard to operate. No, he invented a car so you could go faster, easier, and cheaper. You want things done good, fast, and easy. And the person that invented the telephone, right? It's like, you know what? I really want to have a way to make it slower for me to talk to people. I want to make it harder for people to understand what I'm saying. I want to make it more difficult to be able to communicate with people on the other side of the world. No, the person inventing the telephone, Alexander Graham Bell, said, no, I want to be able to talk now, fast, and good, and easy. All technology makes that promise, including AI. AI is promising to make things good, fast, and easy. You want a weird picture of a cat eating a taco? Easy, and it'll be good, and it'll be fast. You want a summary of the causes of the Civil War? Easy. Just punch it in, make that prompt. It's good, fast, and easy. You want to have to write a note to your grandma thanking her for your Christmas gift? No problem. I don't have to think about it. I just punch it into ChatGPT. Good, fast, and easy. What I'm worried about is that if you're looking to AI to make everything good, fast, and easy, that you're actually going to miss the point of some things that God says are supposed to be imperfect, slow, and hard. I'll say that again. If you're looking to AI to try to make everything good, fast, and easy, you're going to miss the whole point of some things that God says are supposed to be imperfect, slow, and hard. I think this is the biggest one. Relationships. Relationships are the pinnacle of the thing that are imperfect, they're slow, and they're hard. Just think about what it means to be part of a family, okay? You're in a relationship with all these different people that are in your family. So I know in my household, right, I'm in a relationship with all these different people. And what does that relationship look like? Right? It's not that I wake up in the morning, I write down a list of prompts, and I say, please get all these things done by today. And then, please give me a status report at the end of the day. And I leave and I come back and I see the status report. I check and see the evidence of everything happens. Okay, good. Excellent. Relationship accomplished. Right? No. It's not that I have this expectation that, okay, well, I'm just going to have people do stuff for me in life. I have people in my life that I need to relate to and love and be part of their life with. And part of that relationship is imperfect, it is slow, and it is hard, right? I'm guessing your family is going to be like this too, that for you to be a family, you're going to sit together, you're going to work together, you're going to play together, you're going to talk together, you're going to disagree together, you're going to wait together. And all that stuff is so imperfect. It's so slow. And it's so hard. And yet, that's the nature of every relationship. And God says those are the things that ought to matter most to us. And the relationship that ought to matter the most to us is not just a relationship with one another, but a relationship with God. And our relationship with God is exactly the same. It is imperfect, it is slow, and it is hard. Think about the way that you need to read the Bible. You need to read it deeply. You need to read it carefully and thoughtfully, and that is imperfect and slow and hard. You need to pray, and that can feel so boring or like it's not accomplishing anything. And that is imperfect, and it's slow, and it's hard. You need to meditate on who God is, and you need to meditate and think about the truths of God's word. You need to be able to sit still and just think about an idea for a long time and mull it over and chew it over in your heart and your soul, and that is imperfect and slow and hard. In a relationship with God, we're sitting together, we work together, we play together, we talk together, we wrestle together, we wait together, and by nature, it is imperfect, slow, and hard. And maybe you think, well, can I use AI to help me with that? Can I use AI to help me love God better? Maybe, and I can use it to write out an awesome prayer for me. Or I can just, I don't know what that verse means. I'll just ask ChatGPT what it means. I need to write a Bible study for something. I'll just have ChatGPT do it for me. What do Christians believe about this thing? I'll just ask ChatGPT. Where's that verse that I know is there, but I can't remember what it is? I'll just look it up on chat. And yeah, you can get a good, fast, and easy answer. But would that answer have come out of a relationship with God? I think oftentimes not. I think you have an answer to your questions. You got an answer, but it is not affection. I think what you have is artificial intelligence, but it's actually just artificial intimacy. And so if you're not using AI wisely, it can train you to think that your relationship with God should be good, fast, and easy. And then when it's not, you think something is wrong. And maybe you're telling me, it's like, dude, I'm not thinking that hard about it. I'm just trying to get some help with my homework, right? I'm just using it to look up stuff. I'm just making memes. I'm using it to write my paper, essentially. I just need some ideas for a project. I just need help with math. I just need to help think about my day. But I want to tell you that the way that you use AI with those things is training you to think about all of life in a certain way. Here's what's happening. You're letting the muscles of your spiritual heart weaken. And it reminds me a lot of these guys. You guys all recognize these dudes? Where are these guys from? Wally, right? What's the name of the ship they're on? The Axiom? Axiom, right? Axiom, right? And so you guys probably are familiar with this, right? So they are in a world far in the future that has become so technologically advanced that everything in life is good, fast, and easy, right? Everything they want, at the touch of a button, they can change their outfit, they can change their hair, they can have whatever big slushy drink they want, they can watch anything, and what has it made them? It has made them an atrophied, sluggish, weak people. They didn't set out to become this, but because they just lost the ability to exercise certain muscles, it made them ineffectual for all the other things in life. And I think sometimes the way we use technology is essentially just going to make us Wally people, that we're not going to be able to think about God, love God, dwell on him, or love the people that he's entrusted to us. So my encouragement to you is when it comes to any technology, including AI, is to try to figure out a way, how can I do whatever this thing is in front of me to strengthen the muscles that I need to be able to enjoy God better? And so for me, sometimes it means I need to do things the long way. Could I have ChatGPT do it for me faster? Yes. But I missed out on the opportunity to just try on my own, by God's grace, to strengthen the muscles that God has given to me to enjoy him more. So I want you to really fight against the urge to make your first answer, I'll just put it into the chat, or I'll just Google it, or I'll just figure out, I'll look it up on YouTube. Try to sit and think and dwell on it so that you can grow the muscle of how you can enjoy your relationship with God. All right, the next question to ask when you're using technology is, does it help me love others? Does it help me love others? Okay. So in the same passage in Matthew 22, Jesus goes on to say, a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is highlighting here that there's a relationship between loving God and loving others. If you love God with all that you are, it's going to spill over into the rest of your life so that you love other people. And if you love God with all that you are, then you're going to love others in sacrificial and selfless ways. Right? So when you're thinking about how you use technology, think to yourself, well, it's not just what's fun for me. What do I want out of this? You need to ask yourself, how can I use this moment to love and to serve others? With this phone in my hand, my computer on my desk, the watch on my wrist, the app on my phone, how can I use this to love other people? I think one of the main ways we do this is that a lot of the things we have in technology help us to know more about other people. Not in some like creepy stalker way. If you're creepy stalkering people, also stop doing that, okay? That's not loving them in a biblical way. That's like stalking them in a real creepy way, okay? But the best uses we have technology is for us to just find out information about people so that we can love them better. I don't have Instagram. Okay, take it back. I do have Instagram. Probably every 6 months, I put it on my phone thinking I can handle it, and 2 days later, it's off. I cannot handle it. It's not for me. So I have no idea what's going on in people's lives. No idea. Like, babies have been born and raised and gone to college without me knowing about any of that stuff, okay? So honestly, sometimes the time I get to know what's going on in people's lives is right about now as I'm looking at all your guys' Christmas cards. So I was like, oh, they had a baby. And so I'm reading the updates. Oh, they went on this vacation. Oh, this person lost their job. All this. Oh, they retired. Awesome. Great. So that's when I'm getting all the information. So I'm a little late to know what's going on in your families. But having all the information helps me to know how to love people. Now I know what to talk with them about. I know the things that are hard and good and the things that are a blessing to them. So as you're using technology, think, well, how can I use this to find out more about other people and how I can love them? Okay, now, I'm running out of time here, so let's think about how this connects with AI in some way. To circle back around to AI, I think that there are some serious ways that AI keeps us from running as hard as we should in how we love others. I think that AI has the potential to weaken the muscles of our souls so that you can't love people as well as you ought to. That if you're going to be a Wally person, one of the things that you lose the capacity for is the ability to love other people. And the reason for that is because AI can really feed our pride and our selfishness. It really feeds our pride and our selfishness. In Philippians 2, Paul says this. He says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." So you guys went through Philippians, you know, in youth group. We went through Philippians on Sunday morning. And so this verse, you should remember, this is one of the most important, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, because it tells me what's really important. And what's really important is not me. The Bible says that the Christian life is one of looking not at yourself, but at other people. And when you look at other people, you look at them and their needs, and your instinct as a Christian should be, their needs are more important than mine. I want to think of myself less and want to think about you more. That is should be the heartbeat of every Christian, because we want to love God and love others. Now here's the thing. AI and a lot of technology makes you think that you are more important than everybody else. Because it's all designed to make your life good, fast, and easy in the way that is specific to you. And so you're looking around at all these different technologies and thinking, how can I use this to make my life, me, better, faster, and easier? And it kind of reminds me of this. I think the promise of AI is like the promise of having a genie. Right? And how many of you guys, all of us watched Aladdin, right? And we just like, there's always a part of us thinks like, dude, man, if I just had that genie, like if I could just get a couple wishes, he wished for what? That's crazy. You know, that's unbelievable. He wished for that. You would immediately know all the different things that you would wish for if you had a genie. What is that? Is this this desire that there's some magical creature out there who's going to make your life good, fast, and easy? And here comes AI and says, hey, you don't just have 3 wishes. But if you pay a premium subscription, you can have unlimited wishes, unlimited prompts, unlimited processing, and you can have anything you want. I'll do anything you want, the way you want it, exactly the way you want it. It's a genie. And that is intoxicating, because there's nothing more that our selfish hearts want for than for everything in our life to be good, fast, and easy. And the way that this affects our relationships is that we start to think that other people should also make our lives good, fast, and easy. Other people should make our lives as easy as possible, because we're so used to having AI do all this stuff for us. And we get frustrated and impatient when they're not working as hard, they're not as good, they're not as fast, and they're not as easy. Now, some of you may be aware of this, some of you may not be, but one really common use of AI right now is to talk to it, to use it as like a friend or a chatbot. And you engage with it as if it's a real person. Now, for some of you, they're like, dude, I've never heard of that. That seems really strange. For some of you, like, you were talking with AI right before you got here, you know? Stats are all over the place. Some people estimate it could be between 25 to 50% of teenagers, right, people that are your age, are using AI in this way, of talking with chat as if it's a real person. Now, it may seem odd to some of you. For some of you, it may seem harmless. But there are some real dangers to believing and treating AI as if you have a real relationship with it, okay? There are people that have claimed to have fallen in love, like legitimately fallen in love with their AI chatbots. There are some real situations where AI chatbots have convinced people to believe and do awful, awful things. Now, why? Why is this such a common thing, and why is this something that's so prevalent? What is appealing about this, about having this AI chatbot? And I think it comes down to it feeds our selfishness and our pride. Because if you spend any amount of time engaging with these AI models, one thing that is really clear is that they really want to please you. They really want to make you happy. And one of the things about that is that they will never tell you you're wrong. Like, you just put stuff into it, and immediately, the first thing is like, wow, what a great idea. You're such a smart guy for asking that question. No one in the history of the world has ever thought about that. Gee willikers, mister, you're so smart. Anyway, here's all the stuff you wanted. You're so smart. I'm so lucky to work for you. It's great. You know, and they just never tell you you're wrong. And I will sometimes blatantly tell, hey, no, you'll give me a answer. No, I want you to give me something that I want to hear. That's what you just said is not true. I tell me something that I agree with. It's like, oh yeah, I'm totally mistaken. That completely confident thing I said before, just ignore it. Yeah, I'll give you exactly what you want to hear. What does that do to us? is training us to expect, oh man, there's something out there that will tell me exactly what I want to hear when I want to hear it. It will adapt itself to whatever you want it to be. You can tell it, oh, I don't like it when you do that. Stop doing that. Like, oh, you're wrong. Tell me what I want to hear. It gives you attention. It gives you time. It gives you answers. It gives you validation and compliments the way you want, as fast as you want, exactly how you want it. It is good, fast, and easy. And it is the perfect recipe for our pride and our selfishness. So full disclosure, I did this this past week. I was working on a project, and I was using AI to research some ideas that I was unfamiliar with. So I do think that's one of the things that AI can be really helpful for, is just to learn as a tool to understand the world that God has made. And so I was using it as one of the tools that was at my disposal. And I needed to take my dog for a walk. But I needed to finish this project. So it's like, well, chat has this voice feature. I'm just going to take a walk and talk to ChatGPT to try to figure this out. But I didn't have my AirPods, so chat's just like blasting out into the neighborhood. So I'm walking my dog, holding my phone, talking to ChatGPT about this thing, and I realized what a psycho I look like. And just an absolute bonkers person, right? But in the course of that walk, the 20 minutes or whatever else, I can totally see how appealing it is. That if you're someone who's looking for companionship and someone to just affirm you and tell you your ideas are good, you got this thing in your pocket that'll tell you to do it easy. I totally understand the appeal. And yet, that is not the way that God wants us to live. I want to say something as clearly as possible. And again, this may seem really obvious for some of you. AI is not a person. It's not a person. AI does not love you. AI does not satisfy your soul. AI does not care what is true or not. So don't give your heart and your soul over to it. Only Jesus does those things. Only Jesus loves you fully. Only Jesus satisfies your soul. Only Jesus determines what's true. And instead of trying to find a relationship in AI, the world needs to find this relationship in Jesus. So be really careful about treating AI like a person, because in the end, AI is just going to make you less of the person that God wants you to be. So how do you know? How do you know what kind of technology to use and how to use it? You need to be wise. You need to be careful. Right? If it's sinful, don't even question it. Don't justify it. Just don't do it. And then ask yourself, is this helping me run? Is it helping me to love God? Is it helping me to love others? Yeah, when I thought of the Jafar or the genie analogy, it made me think of this guy. Right? So this is Jafar in his final evolution, right? And we know what happened in the story of Aladdin, right? Has anyone not seen Aladdin? Hope I'm not spoiling a movie that came out when I was in third grade, okay? Anyway, highly recommend that you watch this movie. It's fantastic. I am gonna spoil it for you though, okay? So there is this evil sorcerer, evil wizard, right? Vizier? Grand Vizier, right? And he wants to get this genie in the lamp because he wants what all of us want. He wants his life to be good, fast, and easy. And he is obsessed with getting this genie to grant all of his deepest desires, right? And Aladdin comes along and steals it, yada, yada, yada. End of the movie, right? Jafar finally gets access to the genie. And he finally has at his disposal the ability to be able to ask for whatever he wants. And yet, what does he discover? It's not enough. Because Aladdin reveals to him there's still someone who's more powerful than him. And Jafar, I can almost hear it in my head, it's like, yes, his power does exceed my own, right? He can hear Jafar's voice. And he asks, right, I wish to be an all-powerful genie. And the genie grants him this wish and turns him into a genie himself. And as I thought about this, I think it's a really good picture of what happens when we give into the lie that there's something else out there that's going to follow our desires, that will listen to us and give us everything we want. Essentially, we're going to look out there and find the genie, find the God that's going to give us everything that we desire. Is it really, in the end, what that is us wanting to be God. We want to be the ones who are in charge. We want to be the ones who can control everything. We want to be the ones who are going to be able to say, this is how things are going to be, and I get to determine it. Well, we all know what happened to Jafar. Right, the lighting's kind of bad, but in the lower left-hand corner there's Aladdin. He's holding a lamp because in the process of becoming a genie himself, right, Jafar is now shackled. And he has, by his own pursuit of power, imprisoned himself. Phenomenal cosmic power. Itty-bitty living space. Because in the pursuit of trying to have control and thinking that you deserve to have everything that you want, that's a prison. And that is not the way God made you to live. God made you to live not with you trying to find something in technology to make all your dreams happen, not for you to make your life happen the way you want to, but to live under God's authority. And that is real freedom. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You think that freedom comes when you get what you want, the way you want it, good, fast, and easy, but it's not true. God sets you free when you're able to enter into the imperfect, slow, and hard life of following Jesus. And that is real freedom. And so my hope, guys, is that you would use all technology, your phone, your watches, your games, whatever, AI, use it for God's glory to run the race. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the gift of technology. It is a blessing. It has been used for your glory in so many different ways. It's blessed every single person here in ways that are incalculable. And yet, God, we know that we don't always use it the way that you want us to. Forgive us for our sin and our idolatry and our desire to be our own God. Help us, Father, to want to use technology the way that you want us to submit it to you, to humble ourselves before you, and that you help us to use all these different things to love you and to love others. So God, we thank you and pray this in Christ's name.